from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for a beautiful day that you give us, Lord. We thank you for the rain that we've had. And Lord, we look to thee for spiritual rain this morning, Lord. That spiritual food, Lord, that is only for the elected bride in this last day. Lord, we ask that you would just speak to every heart, Lord. Give us words to speak and hold us, Lord, from speaking anything you would not have us to say. And Lord, that you would bless those that are here, those that are not able to be, Lord, and those that would listen in. And Lord, we just commit all to you. So we ask for the leading, the guiding of the Holy Spirit for each one, Lord, as you know every heart and every need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see you this morning. And we greet you in the name of the Lord. It's good to see Brother Chris with us this morning. And we were missing Sister Evelyn this morning. She's not feeling well. And we want to continue to hold her before the Lord. And then Sister Esther, they're not able to make it this morning. And so we're sorry for that. We know that they don't stay home for just any reason. It's something that with good reason. So we want to remember them in prayer. And I really appreciate the brethren that was able to come yesterday and work on the building. I feel like we got a lot done and it came really well. And so we're really making some good progress on the inside. They're really close to be able to get some inspections. It's not too much electrical work, and then we can get the electrical inspection, not too much HVAC work, and we can get the HVAC inspection, and then the same for the plumbing. Just a little bit of each one, and we can get those inspections. And so if we get those, we can get the building inspection, and once we have them, then we can insulate. And so then the insulation, once that inspection is done, and that's more of an easy thing to do. It'll just go really quickly. But once that's done, then we can drywall, and we don't have any more inspections until the end, until we're all finished, and then everything will be inspected again. And so that'll be a big step. It'll be a big step. Usually when we're building a house, we feel like when we get to the drywall, we're halfway. And you feel like you're way past halfway because you have so much there, but that's when all the little details, there's a lot of little details to do. But anyways, it's really come good, and we really appreciate each one and your sacrifice. And so we thank God for that. Now, we have a Brother Mwangi in Raleigh called me yesterday and said that he would have... Did you talk to him? Okay. So he's wanting to come visit. He's wanting to come visit us. And so I just told him we'd love to have him come, and so we're gonna work on the dates and between my traveling and your traveling. I'm hoping we can get him in between that. So we'll talk about that after the service and see. We want to be able to have some fellowship with the brother and help him any way that we can. And so then also another, so I want you to be remembering Brother Mwangi and his family there in Raleigh. And another brother I want you to remember is a brother, Brian Bennett. He's out in Pecos. Pecos? I think they pronounce it different, but I always say Pecos, but I think it's Pecos or something. So, I don't know. Whatever it is. It's in New Mexico. And he's kind of all alone right there. And so we have invited him for some time. He was planning on traveling to New York and was going to stop by on the way, but it hasn't worked out. So we had some really good fellowship, and we were able to share in the word some and different things. And so I just want you to remember him in prayer. Amen. And then I think maybe sometime we could invite him again to come and have some fellowship. So, and then one more thing before we get into the message, I wanted to remind you that we want to, Brother Gumba now is going to be looking at going to Pakistan, and they're planning on having a minister's meeting there. And so, you know, that's a big thing. If we can get to the ministers, if they can see it, then they can give it to the people. And so we want to be remembering that, and if we can put something back to be helping him. And also for the building out here, if we can help out on that, we want to do that as we go along. So just putting those things, planting those seeds out there so you can be thinking about it. Just give you something to pray about. And then now this morning, this is part 7, and I'm actually backing up in the message, the breach between. And so Brother Guma and I was having some fellowship with Sister Esther's family the other day, and was talking to one of the girls, and it was actually Esther, the young Esther. And so as we were talking, she was telling me, we were inviting her to ask questions and stuff. And I mentioned this the other night, but I wanted to mention it again because you might feel like this is going to be baby food this morning. So you bear with me, but it's for the young people, because some of them haven't been in a message church. They weren't raised in a message church. And so sometimes the question is, you know, if you come out of a church, any kind of church, and everything is based around the Bible, even, you know, we're saying the Bible, and many times it'll be a denominational idea of the Bible, or, you know, whatever it is. And so I was striking, her question was, why are we centering everything on what Brother Branham said? And so I thought, that's something we should touch on. We should really, we should make sure that our youth have that they, if they, nothing else, that they get that, so they know. And I was thinking about it, and some of the youth have been raised in the message church all their life, and so they know. And I was thinking about the girls, Autumn and Amber and Annalise, and you could ask any one of them, Rebel, who's that seventh angel? And they'll tell you, that's Brother Branham. You ask them, who is that mighty angel that came down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea? They'll tell you, that's Christ. So, but if you haven't had that, then you don't know. And so, but those are the basic things that we really, really need to know. And so you bear with me this morning. We're going to start in the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, and some paragraph 23. And Brother Branham says so much in this message. He lets out a lot of details that even today people are thinking about and wondering about, and maybe haven't placed them exactly 100%. But rather we can place it and say this is this and this, we say amen. We just say amen. If I'm not to where I can explain it, we just say amen. And I can read it. I can say just what he said, and I can say amen. And I just leave it right there. So now, we're going to turn to the fifth chapter, and he's going to read the part of the fifth chapter and the tenth chapter. And so we want to do that for the benefit. Now, this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the church ages and the seven seals. And there's also a sixth chapter, and there's a fourth chapter, rather, of Revelation. So he's referring back now because he's coming to the fifth chapter, and he said there's also a fourth chapter now that there's some things that are revealed in that fourth chapter. And so we're not going to touch on that right now, but maybe after a while. But he will place it, and he'll say, will take place after the church going up. That the church goes up on the third chapter. And we know that, the last verse of the third chapter, that's the end of the seventh church age, the end of the church age is there. And so Brother Ram says the church goes up, and then Stephen the call in Revelations 4:1, the invitation is to come up higher, there's a door open in heaven, and he's invited to come up higher. See, the third chapter of Revelations, and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelations. See, therefore the church misses the tribulation. So he's telling us that this is rapture time, and that this is the early onset of it. When Brother Branham is coming into the seals, he's really beginning to speak about these things, and then he really starts nailing it down. Then after the seals are opened up, and those things begin to be put in their place. And so he talks here about the church missing the tribulation, and he said, I'm going to skip down to 25. And when he's talking about it, he says that he hadn't found many preachers that agreed with him there, that the church misses the tribulation. And then he uses Noah for a type, that and he used that during that time Enoch went up and Noah went through. And then he come to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said the same thing. He said that Lot had to get out before the judgment fell. And then he said, but Abraham, and this is what I really like, Abraham was already called out. And that's where the bride is. Amen. The bride is already called out. And that's the thing that, it scares people when you talk about redemption over. It scares people when you talk about the rapture taking place. Sometimes they can't wrap their head around that. But Abraham was called out. He was already separated, walking with God. Amen. Enoch was already separated, walking with God. Yes, sir. And the bride today, she's already separated, Amen. And she's walking with God. Yes, sir. She's living in the presence of God. She is in heavenly places with Christ. Amen. And the teacher is living in her. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the token today. Amen. And so the teacher she's feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, and Christ is revealing himself to her. Day by day, word by word, it's all it's coming together. Paragraph 26. So he's going to start here now. The first verse of chapter 5. And I want you to look at him close. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So we spent some time on this already. We jumped ahead in this message and we spent some time on who was worthy. And no man in heaven and nor in earth, neither under the earth, see, was able to open the book, neither to look upon it. What a book. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look on. There's two things that are really outstanding, that are being called to attention in this chapter. And one is, no one's worthy to open the book. And the other is, that the book is not open, that the book is closed. Right. Is that right? That's what we need somebody to do, is open the book. So his point is, he's saying over and over that the book needs to be opened. And so it's not. Now, you speak about unworthiness, dropping down. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So the the cry is that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to do it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And we might come back and pick that up, but we skipped over it so far. But Brother Branham talks about those things. And I think for the benefit of the young people, we will come back and touch on that. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And so we'll pause here for a few minutes of the reading, Revelation 5, including the seventh verse. So he's telling us here that the book is closed. It needs to be opened. The seals need to be loosed so that the book can be opened. And then it was finding somebody to open it. And so when the announcement went forth, it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he turned to look, it was the Lamb. It was the Lamb that had been slain.
Right.
So we know who that is. We know who that is. So he's going to talk some more about it as we go. Verse 29. Now, this seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10, as a piece of information, put in our notes, that these things are happening at the same time. This, at the time of the seven thunders, is at the same time that the seven seals are going to be revealed.
Right.
And that's what he's doing. He's bringing a lot of things together. And at some point, I remember way back trying to put it in order. And Brother Branham said, you can't put it on a chart. You can't put it on the board and say this and this and this. But there is a quote out there somewhere. He says that it's all happening at the same time. It's just all happening at the same time. He said the vials and the trumpets and all of that. One thing's ending, another thing's beginning. And so he says, let's turn to Revelation, the 10th chapter, just a minute, so you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is at the end time. So that's also another piece of information. This is at the end time. And he's going to stress on this is when time is ended. This is when time is no more. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And if you notice, that's Christ. See? Because he in the Old Testament was called the angel of the covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished. More information. He's telling us some more. He's coming to the Jews now. The church is finished. Their time is going to be no more. So, and a really big one is this angel that's coming down. This is Christ.
Right.
This is Christ. Because in the Old Testament, he was called the angel of the covenant. See? And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You remember that angel in Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger. And he's a messenger to Israel, see? The church has been raptured. Mm-hmm. Now he's placing the rapture in there at this same time. He's placing the rapture happening at the same time that these seals are opening, these thunders are being made known, that these things, that all of this is coming to a climax. All this is coming to a climax. So the church has been raptured, see, now, or fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. We already read that. He's telling us now this is the claiming time. In order for this to take place, in order for him to take the book, the meditorial and the intercessory work has to be finished.
Amen.
And he has to leave that work.
That's right.
And that's the reason why there's a change. There's a change from a lamb now to a lion.
Yes, sir.
So he's changing his position. He's changing his ministry. He's changing the way he's going to minister to the people now.
Amen.
Now watch. And he had in his hand a little book opened. See? Now here it was closed here and sealed, and here it's open. It's been opened, see, since that time of the sealing. We're getting into tonight. Now the book's opened. So this is not just the prophet telling us something, or revealing something, saying this is the prophecy or whatever. He's telling us what's plainly written in the Bible.
Right.
This is plainly written in the Bible, and I want that to be to get across for the young people, because we're always going back to the Scripture. Although we are constantly quoting Brother Branham, and he can speak prophecy, he can speak Scripture just like any prophet that you read in your Bible.
That's right.
He can do exactly that. But another thing that every prophet that comes on the scene does is he interprets the Scripture that's already been written.
Amen.
So when a prophet comes and he goes back and he talks about the other prophets, and he said, this prophet said this, and then he identifies the fulfillment of what that prophet said, what that prophet said was going to take place. And sometimes it's hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years before a prophecy is fulfilled, sometimes thousands of years. And so that's the way God does it. And so the prophet has to come on the scene. And the Scripture tells us, especially for us, in this day, we have Scripture that tells us that God was sending us a prophet, sending us a voice in this last day. We know we have Malachi 4, we have Revelation 10, we have Luke 17. Everything is pointing to God revealing himself in this day. God revealing the Scripture in this day. It's not just somebody walked up one day and started saying, I'm the prophet and God's going to do this and do this. No, it always laces. It laces right through the Scripture. It has always laced through the Scripture. And so, and that's what Brother Branham said, because when he talked about the thunders, that's always been a big deal. It's not in the Bible, it's in the Bible. It's, you know, it's not in the Bible, it's hidden in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So it's got to, same thing in Sirs Is This a Time.
Right.
He said it will either be Scripture. He said this revelation, the vision he was talking about, he said it will either be Scripture or a continuation of the Scripture. And so to me, that's the simplicity of the seven thunders. It's just the continuation and the explaining of the Scripture. It's just opening the whole thing up, making it where we can understand it.
Amen.
Revealing what the thing is. So it's just not the prophet saying it, but it's plainly written. The fifth chapter, the book is closed. The tenth chapter, the book is open. Huh?
Right.
Yeah. In the fifth chapter, The lamb comes forth. The lion says the lion is going to come forth. In the 10th chapter, it's going to be the lion. He's going to speak like a lion. But it's the lamb that was slain. It's the same one. It's the same one, but now his ministry's changed. And now he's coming as the king. He's coming as the judge. See?
Amen.
So, Brother Branham says, a little book in his hand, it was opened. And the sun is pillars. Wait just a minute, let me start back here. And he says, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. So you see the change. He's got the book and the book is open. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. He's not baa like a sheep. Now he's talking like the lion. And so this is the difference. And Brother Branham said that had to end before this could be. Before the book could be opened, the mediatorial and intercessory work had to be finished. It had to be closed out. It had to be done. And so not only that, he's going to make it clear, has made it clear many times, but here this morning he's going to say in this message that the church ages have to be finished. That dispensation has to be done now, because this is a turning of the corner. This is a change that's taking place. And when he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, Brother Ram said, we know he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Over here he's a lamb, but here he's a lion, see? So it's another change. Another change is taking place in the promise and the manifestation of the whole thing. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And now John was commissioned to write what he saw. So the apostle and prophet picked up his pen to write it. See? And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So Brother Bram says, it's not what he's going to say here. It's not in Holy Script. But this is part of the promise. This is part of the promise that these things would have to be spoken in this day. And when we read Revelation 5, that had to happen somewhere.
Right.
And so it's being identified now that it was at the end time. He takes it to Revelation 10. He ties these two chapters together. And he takes it from that ministry of a mediator now to his kingship into judgment. And telling us that this time now, all these things can be revealed.
Amen.
These seals are going to be loosed. The mysteries of the Bible is going to be completely revealed. The Bible will be completely finished. And then come seven mysterious thunders that are not written in the Bible. All of those things have to be. It's the promise. It's what God promised way back there. And now it happens in this day.
Yes, sir.
So, and when I saw, let's read this again. And when the seven thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now that's what we don't know. That's yet to be revealed. It's not in Holy Script what them thunders say. Okay? So he's just saying it's not in the Bible. So it's got to be spoken. And we know how the Bible tells us it's going to be revealed. We're just reading it. Another mighty angel comes down from heaven.
Amen.
And he speaks. That's what the Bible says, how these things are going to be made known.
Yes, sir.
We're reading it. And that's what he's telling us. Says that's what we need to know. See, that's yet to be revealed. It's not in Holy Script what them thunder say. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. Now listen. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. Let's see. He's missed a part of that. Let's see. Let me read it again. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So, now, he said, watch. Here's the verse I want to get to. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, this is the reason why we listen to what Brother Branham said. This is the reason why that every word he spoke is precious to the bride.
Amen.
This is the reason why that every message that they can find, every word that he spoke, they have tried to preserve it so that we could read it, so we could hear it,
Amen.
So we could know what he said.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing with Charlie Kirk. And I don't want to say nothing against that because I really admire everything that he was doing and his stand for Christianity in this day. Even though we may have a difference in doctrine, in revelation, but yet to even get people today to acknowledge God and in those things. But the correlation I was saying was they say that they have found lots and lots of his speeches and stuff, said that every time he went to one, he made way more than he needed. And so they have all of that. And that's going to be coming out, and they're all excited about that. And the nation's having a revival, and people are going to church the first time they've ever went to church. They're buying a Bible the first time they had a Bible, and all of that. And that's all wonderful. It's all wonderful. I would rather have that than them going the other way.
Amen.
And so, but hopefully that's a stepping stone to bring them to Christ.
Right.
And so that's the thing that matters, is to know him in the power of his resurrection in the day that you live in.
Right.
And so that's what we're after. But listen to this seventh verse. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Now that's one of our scripture for this day, that God sent us a prophet, Malachi 4, that he promised to send Elijah again in the last days. We know the spirit of Elijah was promised five times, and so there's a lot there. And we're not going to read all of those. I might read a couple more as we go along for the benefit of the youth, but he's declaring to us here that this is the scripture where God promised to reveal. God promised to reveal. In every age or dispensation even, every time God was going to do anything major on the earth, God sent a prophet. He always sends a prophet. And that's God's way of revealing himself, of God's way of redemption, of making himself known. And so redemption in Noah's day meant that it was going to rain and that they were going to build an ark. And it didn't matter how much that had never been taught before, it had never been done before, never been known before. It doesn't matter. God now, the voice of God was on the earth speaking those things, what God was going to do.
Yes, sir.
And when we're reading this message, that's exactly what we have. We have the voice of God telling us what God had. And for us, it's for the last 2,000 years. He's opened up what's happened all the way from Pentecost, all the way back to Genesis. Actually, he's taken us all the way back before the foundation of the world, into the mind of God, what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, and revealing those things for us today. And so this is the greatest time. And Brother Branham told us that. He said, this is the greatest time to be on the earth, to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paragraph 37. Now see, the mystery of this seven seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh church age angel's message. Now he's identifying when. Our prophet's telling us he went to the scripture. He showed us in Matthew in Revelations 5, Revelations 10, and he's telling us now the seventh angel is the one who's going to do it. He's the one. And the seventh angel begins to sound, and there's the messages wrote out there, and we got it in tape and book form. See? And remember, he told us that this happens at the same time, at the time of those seven thunders. Now, at the beginning of the sounding of the message, the mystery of God should be finished, see, at that time. And we will notice the book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seventh angel's message is sounded. Until the seventh angel's message is sounded. Brother Adam said he comes, the messenger comes at the end of the age and then brings his message. Now these points will be important in the seals. I'm sure, because it must every bit tie together. And now it's wrote mysterious because no man nowhere knows it. God alone, Jesus Christ, see, no man knows it. It was promised for this day, this hour, and nobody knew it. And he kept reminding us that. I was reading this morning, we're in Marriage and Divorce. Brother Branham said, nobody knew. Nobody knew this revelation until now. Here is the seals being revealed. Here is the book being opened. There is those thunders. In Marriage and Divorce, those messages, there is those thunders being spoken. In a mystery, still in a supernatural element, but him speaking things that had not been known from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And then it's hidden. It's hidden right in the message.
Right.
And he puts guards around it. Just like he talked about the Gospels. The guards are right there to protect it, to hide it.
Amen.
Sure. Polygamy is guarding it. People read it and they get... It just sometimes they just can't get away from that, and they can't recognize what God has just said to them, that he just took them back before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And is expressing what he had in his mind and why everything was made the way that it was made, why that woman was not in the original, that she was made special for this thing that God needed to happen.
Amen.
All those things.
Yeah.
It's such a perfect plan. Such a perfect plan. See? It is a book. A mysterious book. It's a book of redemption. And we'll get into that in a little while. And now we know that this book of redemption will not be thoroughly understood. It's probed at through six church ages. But at the end, see, when the seventh angel begins to sound his mystery, see, he winds up all the loose ends that these fellows probed at. And the mysteries come down from God as the Word of God and reveals the entire revelation.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I love the language.
Amen.
I just love the way he says it.
Amen.
The mysteries of God come down from God as the Word of God.
Right.
Because that's what they are. That's what they are. And when God's speaking, that's the Word of God.
Amen.
See, he's the author and finisher. He's the author and finisher of all revelation. Of all revelation. See, and he said, that's what he's saying here. The mysteries come down from God as the Word of God reveals the entire revelation of God. Then Godhead, everything else is settled. All the mysteries, serpent seed, whatever more, is to be revealed. And those things, it was capping of that revelation too. Because a lot of that the seventh angel was revealing. He revealed water baptism in the name of the Lord. He revealed the serpent seed. He revealed different things. But then there was a furtherance of the revelation of all of it. Now you see, I'm just not making that up. It's thus saith the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God, should be finished that's been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophets who has wrote the word. See? And at the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages have been probed at will be wound up together. This messenger, this last messenger, he's speaking the word of God too. And he's taking it all the loose ends, everything that was left off, and he's bringing it all together and revealing the whole thing. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, listen to what he's saying. When the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ.
Amen.
Setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Remember now, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming.
Yes, sir.
He is identifying this so perfectly. So perfectly, he's telling the people, when these things are revealed, when these mysteries are revealed. Let's read it again. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed,
amen,
down comes the angel.
Right.
Huh? And down comes the angel, and the seventh angel is standing on the earth when this mighty angel comes down.
Yes, sir.
So these seals are being revealed, and it can't be anybody else. It can't be anybody else. Even the scripture identifies that there was no one worthy to take the book.
Yes, sir.
There was no one worthy to look upon the book. So the Lamb takes the book.
Right.
And he comes with the book.
Amen.
And he's opened the book and he comes to reveal what's in the book.
Yes, sir.
It's himself.
That's right.
He's the one. He's the one doing it. He's bringing the mystery down as the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what it is to us. To the elect of this day, this message is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's God in word form.
That's right.
I want to read that again because I just like it so much.
Amen.
And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. Just as John was giving his message, the same time that Messiah come in the days. John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him.
Amen.
Did our prophet know the same thing?
Yes,
Did God tell him the same thing? In 1933? Told him the same thing. That you will pack a message that will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. This is all promises. It's laced through the scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all there for us. For vindication, for proof, for reproof, for us in this last days.
Yes, sir.
See, we realize that in the scriptures over in Malachi 4. There's to be one like John, an Elijah, see, to whom the word of God can come to. And he's to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God and restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Restore back all these mysteries that's been probed at through these denominational years. Now, that's what those church ages were. And Brother Branham said, he's no longer in the church. He's no longer revealing himself as a church. He's no longer bringing it as a church.
Amen.
No, he was put out of the church.
Right.
He was put out of the church. So he's not there.
That's
what marveled me when everybody was trying to get back to Pentecost. He was put out.
Yes, sir.
Why do you want to go somewhere where he's not?
Amen.
That was a misconception. But I know we understand why. We understand why because it's been so many years since the prophet went off the scene. It's been so many years and they're waiting on a rapture. They're waiting on the fulfillment of all of these things. And they have not seen that it's happened.
Right.
So now they're feeling like, okay, if we don't know what's going on, we got to get back to that, something back there. And that's exactly what they did. They went back to trying to have prayer lines. They went, and I'm not talking against it. If you want to have a prayer line, have a prayer line. That's just fine. But don't leave the word off. Don't leave the revelation off. Don't say, no, I don't believe that, and then want to come over here and try to impersonate the prophet.
Right. Amen.
No. Restore back all the mysteries that's been probed at through these denominational years. Brother Ramsey, six church ages, they were probing and probing and probing. Don't you think that 2,000 years. I mean, you look at what we have in the message.
Right.
How long now? In the 60s. So we're 60-something years, right? 60-something years. Look how many variations, ideas that we have in the message.
Right.
Just preachers. And we're all part of it. We're all just doing the best that we can. We're speaking what God reveals to us and doing the best that we can. Think about all the preachers for 2,000 years.
Right.
They've been probing at this thing for 2,000 years. And look where it got them. That when the prophet came on the scene in this last day and began to try to tell them, he didn't look anything like what they had produced.
Right.
And so they couldn't. And that's the same thing they did in Jesus' day.
That's right.
They had went 4,000 years. And they had the Bible, and they had the preachers, and they had the priests, and they had all of that.
Amen.
And yet, when the Word walked in their midst, they couldn't recognize. He didn't look anything like the idea that they had in their mind, their theology. And that's what's happened in this day. And it's a separation time.
Yes, sir.
That's what Brother Bram said. It's a separation time. God is separating. And so this... I thank God that he can't lose one.
Amen.
He will not lose one.
Yes, sir.
No matter what. He's going to get his seed. And so,
right.
As I said, we're just doing our best to be led of the Spirit of God and to receive the revelation as God gives it to us. And
Amen.
We will continue to do that. And we'll do it through trials and troubles and anything else that Satan puts out there, because without any trials and without any troubles,
yes,
and without any disagreements, everybody just gets soft and lazy.
Right.
And that's the truth. And Brother Branham said it.
Yeah.
Said, when everything's going smooth and we get everything how we want it, then he said we get lazy. That's human nature. But when times call for a little bit of a struggle and a little bit of sacrifice and a little bit of whatever, trials, whatever, Brother Branham said, it makes you strong. And as much as we don't like it, we don't. I don't like trials. Who volunteers for that?
Amen.
No, but you thank God for it. Because
by
revelation, you know that he's making you strong.
Yes, sir.
That's how he does it. That's how he's always done it.
Amen.
See, to whom the word of God can come to, he is to reveal by the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing. It's got to be God doing it. All the mysteries of God and restore the faith of the children back to the faith of apostolic fathers. Restore back all these mysteries that have been probed at through these denominational years. Now, that's what the Word said. And I'm just responsible for what it said. See, it's written. See, it's written is right. That's what it is. Now, we see that this seven-seal book now is the mystery of redemption. What is the seven-seal book? The mystery of redemption. Redemption has been a mystery that was promised to be revealed in this last day. And we know that from Genesis, when he put the first skins on Adam and Eve, and then to Cain and Abel, and then coming through Moses and coming through the Old Testament, he was revealing redemption all the time and giving them something for that day,
right,
a substitute for that day, knowing that he was going to reveal the mystery of redemption in this day, in its fullness, all of it together, in this time.
Amen.
See, this seven-seal book now is the mystery of redemption. It is a book of redemption from God. And all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. And now here's an angel on the earth, and another angel, a mighty messenger, comes down. Praise be to God. This is the introduction. This is the introduction. He hasn't even started on the seals. This, you go back into Sirs Is This the Time, and that was the real introduction. And look how many times in that message he mentions the seven thunders. And that's the reason why Brother Branham said, you got my message on the seven thunders. You go read it. See how many times he mentions the seven thunders in that book, in that message. What a time. What a time. And now, this is the breach. He's coming into the seals now, and he's opening up. He's putting things in our minds that we had never thought of before. No. This prophet is bringing in this message. Much of these things had never been thought of before. Now, all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. Here's the angel on earth, the seventh angel, and another angel, a mighty messenger, comes down. See, this angel was an earthly angel, messenger. But here comes one down from heaven, a rainbow covenant. See, only Christ it could be. That's right. Praise be to God. How can anybody argue with him coming?
Right.
You know, this is the first, this is where he was introducing the whole thing. He was introducing it right here at the opening of the seals.
Amen.
That this is his coming. This is him coming with the book, with the revelation.
Yes, sir.
See, only Christ it could be, just exactly like it was in Revelation's first chapter. Standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with the rainbow to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. That's right. And here he returns back in the 10th chapter after the coming time. See? That all the mysteries is to be finished. and the seals are to be broke, proclaiming that time is no more. And he'll keep mentioning this over and over, because he wants to imprint that or impress that onto the people. That part of this promise, part of this unfolding, part of this revelation is that it's at the end time and that time is no more.
Amen.
And he said, when the seventh angel has begun to sound, then the mystery should be finished and time for that angel to appear. We're close somewhere. That's right. Praise be to God. Can you imagine what the people were feeling like? We've been reading it now and heard it preached now as it's gotten deeper and deeper and deeper for all of our life. All of our life, those that have been in the message all their life, these things have been constantly opening, opening, opening. These people sitting in this service were hearing it for the first time. Can you imagine what it felt like? Can you imagine what they were thinking? Where their minds were. That I don't know if they'd make it home. That the rapture would be over. And they had an idea what the rapture was. Now notice, the seven seal book, the seven seals holds the mystery of the book. The seven seals holds the mystery of the book. And until we can see what those seven seals has sealed in, we're only presuming them things. God, I told you this morning, upon my little message this morning, God hiding in simplicity. And you know that that was ordained of God to bring that message at the opening of the seals, to bring that message in the morning and bringing God in simplicity. What a message. See, we are sure to miss the thing unless it is absolutely, genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. Amen. And that's the reason this messenger, this voice of God in this day, in this last day, was vindicated above and beyond over and over and over again. And Brother Branham talked about, he said he would be referring to the things that a prophet was doing. And then he would say, now watch God come and vindicate his man. And he'd send him down there, and the man could be fearful. A man could be scared. A man could not know what to expect next. Yet God come right in and he vindicated. This is the one I chose. This is what I sent him for. This is what he said. That's what I'm saying. I'm vindicating that this is my man. And Brother Branham said, these things that was done was to vindicate the presence of God, to vindicate the ministry. He said, I challenge anyone, anywhere around the world, to show me one time where it was ever wrong, Amen. That it was said, thus saith the Lord, that it was ever wrong. And he said, you can't do it. He said, because it's never been wrong. Not one time.
Amen.
That's quite a boast.
Amen.
And not only that, but like you take some of these prophets, Elijah and Elijah. One do what? 4 miracles? One do 8 miracles?
Right.
Huh? This was tens of thousands of times.
Right.
The people come before him and he would tell them what they were thinking. He would tell them what happened in their life. He would tell them what was wrong with them. He would tell them what their name was, where they lived at, something they were going through, something in their childhood, something only they knew.
Yes,
tens of thousands of times that it happened.
Right.
And never one time was it wrong. Never one time was it wrong.
Amen.
Did God allow it to look wrong sometimes? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
God loves that. God loves for the critics to come and declare that it's wrong. Declare that they know better. They know differently. But when they did, when those critics come, the beauty of it was it made it more positive.
Yes,
It made it greater than it already was. It made it a greater miracle.
Amen.
When those two women were sitting over saying, we know her, we know where she lives, we know her name, we know what's wrong with her, we'll watch her go through the line, and we'll know whether it's true or not. These other people, yeah, it seems good, it's all wonderful, but we don't know none of them. But this woman, we know. So, God had that woman move just a couple days before this happened.
Right.
So now these women, God did that. God allowed that.
Yeah. Right.
So now these women automatically are saying, this is false.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying that was the right address and we know it's the wrong address. That's right. The prophet told her where she lived, what her name was, what was wrong with everything. And they're saying, no, we know where she lives. Why would she lie? Huh?
Right.
Tell me what God did with that story and not of many of the others. Because that same exact thing happened thousands, tens of thousands of times.
Yeah.
What's the difference of that one where the critics came?
Yeah.
We tell that story 10 times more than we tell the other stories.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the one where Satan thought he had it proved wrong.
Yeah, right.
So we tell that one more than we tell many of the other ones.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
When Satan thinks he's got God, he don't know God's going to use it for something greater. Yes.
Amen.
When Pharaoh was headed down there as fast as his chariots could take him,
right,
saying, we're going to show them.
Yeah.
We're going to end this thing now. At all costs, we're going to end it. Well, the only thing they ended was their legacy.
That's right.
Because God had a greater thing in mind. And that's the reason why why his heart was hardened. Because God, this thing was already so great and so powerful. If it had stopped right there, that story would still be told today.
Right.
But it's 100 times greater, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 100 times greater. Because there they were trapped. And here they can see the dust of all of those chariots rising into the air. And they can hear the thunder of the hoofs coming. Now just remember now, there wasn't supernatural people. Those were natural people just like us.
Right.
They worry just like we do. They doubt just like we do. They fret just like we do. They get scared just like we do.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were living in flesh just like us. All the same emotions, all those same things there. But that little elect knew that God was able. Always able. See, we are sure to miss a thing unless it's absolutely, genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. God is the one. The Lamb took the book. The Lion began to speak and make it known. If the prophet rises and tells you that this is just that, and God don't vindicate the thing, forget about it. God vindicates his word. That's what I'm saying. God vindicates his word. When God called William Branham, he vindicated it. He vindicated him over and over and over. Many times, vindicating to the people. Sometimes the prophet needed that vindication for his own self, for his own faith, for his own assurance. He needed God to give him a sign. He needed God to do something.
Yeah.
Who was the prophet? Was it Zerubbabel that put the blanket down and said that the dew would...
Yeah.
He did it one way. Yeah, and for the dew to be on it. And then he said, now the next night, he's going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
Make it be the opposite of what it was last night. I ain't taking no chances here. Huh? God honored it because that was the voice. That was the one God was using. See, God in every statement, in everything has to vindicate it to make it right. See? So his children will watch those things and be alert. Praise be to God. That's right. We will. In the same message, I don't know if we read it or skipped over it or what. I had it. I don't think we read it, but Brother Branham said, we must get these things.
Correct.
These things are important. We must get them. We must recognize that this is God fulfilling the word in this last days. Notice seven seals on the book. These seven seals has the book sealed. See? The book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? See? The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seals is broken. See? It's sealed up with seven seals. Now you say, why is he stressing it? Well, we've known for all 50 years that the seals are open, that they had to be loosed. Huh? He's talking to a group of people that this is the first time they've ever heard it. Many of them didn't know there was any seals. They didn't know that the book was closed. They thought the book was open. They didn't know there was a mystery of redemption. They didn't know that this was promised in the last days to be made known. They didn't know that these seals had to be opened so that the book could be opened, so the mysteries could be made known. No, they thought that this seventh angel was already revealing all the mysteries, and they had most of them. This that was being introduced with them is something that had not entered their minds before.
Amen.
This was a new thing that was happening. That's how God likes it.
Amen.
And that's where he gets your real reaction. When it's the most unusual circumstances. It's the most, that's why in Noah's day it had never been done. It was the most far-fetched thing that you could, Brother Bam said they could prove it couldn't rain. Never had rain. Never had water come out of the sky. The dew came up from the earth. They could prove that. For you to think in that day that it was coming from up there was just ridiculous. Science was against it. You imagine what people thought the first time that they heard that the word rapture is not in the Bible? What did you think? You couldn't wait to get to your Strong's Concordance. We didn't have computers in those days. Huh? We had a concordance. We had a book. And we went looking. No, it's not in there.
Right.
And then there was other things. Just like was mentioned this morning here. He's saying that this 10th chapter, Christ is coming to Israel.
Yeah, huh?
Right.
And here we are. This is in our minds, this is all about us.
Yeah.
This is all about us. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It is about us. We're in him,
right.
And he's getting Israel.
Amen.
And he can do both at the same time.
Yes, sir.
He can do all that he wants at the same time.
That's right.
He's opening this book and revealing the mystery of redemption so he can claim his wife and bring her into himself in this marriage, in this union. And that he can have a honeymoon. That he can have this supper, this spiritual feast with her. And she's feeding upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. This book, I'm going to read that again. Because he's really stressing it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
This book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seals is broken. You can't be receiving a revelation of something opening up if you don't even believe it's closed.
Right.
As far as they were concerned, the thing was always open. Now they're finding out it's not open. There's some more. There's some more in there that we don't know yet.
Amen.
What a wonderful time.
Yes, sir.
And think, it took, I don't know how long it took, for us, and he said it, we've already read some of it, but how long it took to realize that those seven thunders, that all the seals had to be revealed, all the Bible had to be completed, and then comes seven thunder mysteries. Some people try to put that all together. They try to make it all the same thing. It's not the same thing. All the Bible had to be completed first. Seals had to be loosed.
Amen.
Then comes those seven mysterious thunders. See, it's a sealed book with seven seals. Now that's different from the seven thunders, see? This is the seven seals on the book. And the book, the seals will not be released until the message of the seventh angel. See? So we're presuming. But the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding.
Amen.
Huh? In that sounding. At this time. At the end time. This angel is the one God's going to use. And he's going to finish the seven church ages. He's going to finish the mystery, all the mysteries of the Bible. The seals are opening up. The Lamb comes down. That mighty angel comes down. And now the church ages are over. Time is no more. The Bible's complete. Now this mighty angel, Christ himself, can now, he just needs a body. Now he could have just spoke one. He could have just made one. Just that simple. But he's going to use this body. He's going to hide in this body. And people are going to be confused. Because this is coming out of an age, the seventh age, and now it's coming into the bride age. And now they're seeing this seventh messenger, and now we're seeing Christ in flesh. See, so we're presuming the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated truth. Now that's exactly what the word said. The mystery should be finished at that time. And this seven seal book, remember now, it was closed here in Revelations, the fifth chapter. And in Revelations, the tenth chapter, it's opened.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So that's as simple and plain, and it's all right there in the Bible. And then he's going to tell us, and here, I was fixing to say what we're fixing to read. Let's read it. And now we're going to see what the book says about how it became opened. Isn't that great? Huh? That's what. That's once again, it's hard to think that people can be raised in this message, study this message, and maybe they're not studying it. Maybe they're not studying it. I don't know. All their life. Some of those people were here when the prophet was here. And some of them seen the things. They seen the supernatural gift. They seen some of them things. Some of them, they were there. How is it now that they can throw all of that away? All of that away. And it's right in the Bible.
Right.
That's what he's telling us now. It's in the Bible. And now we're going to see what the book says about how it became opened. And that's the beauty to me. And that's the beauty. It don't matter how, where you go, what you do. This is here to stay.
Right.
This is the revelation of the seven seals.
Right.
It's here. You can take the messenger away. You can take the lamb away. You can take the lion of the tribe of Judah away. You can say, take the cloud away. You can say this wasn't right and that wasn't right. But you can't get rid of this.
Right.
You can't get rid of this. And you can't go to Revelation chapter 10 and read there how the book became opened. Because
right.
In Revelation chapter 10, it says that another mighty angel came down from heaven.
Yes, sir.
And was clothed with a cloud. And he spoke those seven thunder mysteries.
Yes, sir.
That's how it happened. That's what he's telling us. We're going to see what the book says about how it became opened.
Amen.
It's right. It's written right in our Bible. See? And it is and is not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals and opens the book. Nobody knew. Nobody was reading their Bible and said, you know what? Revelations 10. Oh, praise God. Christ is going to come down and he's going to open the seals and reveal the mysteries, the mystery of redemption. He's going to make all these things known. No. No. It's not going to be known until the Lamb takes the book. And when the Lamb takes the book, He reveals it.
Amen.
He takes the book and He reveals it. He had already had that seventh angel reveal in Revelation chapter 1 through 3.
Right.
And some of those others like 13 and 17 and some of those bits and pieces here. But now He's getting Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 10. And He's putting them together that this is the same book.
Amen.
That this book that was closed in 5 is now open in 10. And that lion in 5 was the only one worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. He's the one who's coming now down to the earth.
Amen.
To open the seals.
Yes, sir.
And reveal the mysteries. And when He's doing that, He has another job. There's another promise in there.
Right.
That when He comes, He is going to speak those seven thunder mysteries.
Yes, sir.
It's right in the book. That's why the prophet said, it's hidden in the book. It's in there. Yeah.
Right.
How's it going to be? That's what they told Brother Branham in Unveiling of God. That theologian was going to trick him. And he said, Brother Branham, that's going to revelation give to some man. Isn't that so close? That's exactly what I've always thought. It's a revelation give to some man. That man, this prophet. Brother Branham said, no, can't do that. He said, that would be adding or taking away. So what is it? It's He Himself took the book and came down and revealed the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
Not some man. We done read a couple of times. He said, it has to be the Holy Spirit Himself doing this.
Amen.
It has to be the Holy Spirit. Has to be God doing this.
Yes, sir.
And that's who it was. It was God Himself came and took the book.
Amen.
Now, 51. And now we're going to see what the book says about how it became opened. And is not made known until the Lamb takes the book. And He breaks the seals and He opens the book. See? The Lamb's got to take the book. It's His. And remember, no man in heaven and no man on earth, Pope, Bishop, Cardinal, State, Presbyter, whoever he is, can break them seals or reveal the book but the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Right.
Nobody. Nobody.
Amen.
And He's the only one today, after all these years of preaching and unfolding and making known, He's the only one today who can give revelation.
That's right.
If God don't give it to you, you'll never have it.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
If He don't give me revelation, I'll never have it.
Amen.
And I'm only going to have as much as He gives me.
That's right.
That's all I can have. Just exactly what He gives me, and that's it.
Amen.
Every one of us.
That's right.
And I'm only going to have it in the time. How do I say that? In God's time. See? Where are we at? And we have probed. And we have probed. Is that right? I'm sorry. And we have probed and presumed and stumbled and wandered. And that's the reason we're all in such a confusion. But with the divine promise that this book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb. And the seals thereof will be loosed by the Lamb in the last days in which we're now living. And is not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals. Now, how many times are you going to say that?
Right.
Huh? He just keeps repeating it and repeating it.
Amen.
And people are still refusing it. They're still refusing it. They're still walking away from it.
Right.
And some of them walk away with the book in their hand.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's all in here. It's not. This was the opening. This is what he was opening. This is what he was opening up. He was opening up the book, the whole thing. He was opening up himself. He's the book.
Amen.
He's the word. He's eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Because remember, the book was being held in the hands of him that sat upon the throne. And the Lamb comes to him that sits upon the throne and takes the book out of his right hand and takes the book. Praise be to God. Oh, that's deep. But we'll try to solve it out if we can by the help of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the teacher. He's the one who's doing this thing.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're depending on him. And we will see later, it is at the end time when time has run out. That's right. See? No denomination has a right for the interpretation of the book. Huh? No. He's give us another piece of information. He's telling us now. It's at the end time. He's already told us that these seals are opened at the time of the seven thunders. And he's told us now that this seventh angel is on the earth when this mighty angel comes down. And that when these seals are being revealed, that's when he comes down.
Yes.
All these things. He's putting these things together for us, lining them up so we can understand when, where, and how. Because it's time now to know these things. It's time now to understand these things. And so he's telling us, we're going to find out. The Holy Spirit's revealing it. He's revealing what the book says about how it's going to be done. Now, no man has a right to interpret it. It is the Lamb who interprets it, and the Lamb is the one who speaks it. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's right in the book, isn't it? You just read that in the book, Revelation 10. The mighty angel, he came down, and what did he do? He speaks those seven thunder mysteries. He speaks them. The Lamb is the one who speaks it, and the Lamb makes the word to be known by vindicating, see, and bringing the word to life.
Amen.
See, exactly. Praise be to God. That's right. And notice this. This is not revealed. This book is not revealed until the church ages and denominational ages has run out.
Right.
And there's time no more. Now, so what did he just do? He just took time no more and he tied it into the church ages.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because that's another argument that people have. They said, no. This is not in effect yet because time hasn't ran out. The clock is still ticking. I still wear a watch. You still have this. You still have that. No, that's not what he said.
Amen.
He said that time is no more for the church ages. And the denominational ages. He's identifying what time has run out for. That's not all. There's a lot more. But because he tells us time goes right into the millennium. Millennium's still in time. All of that. But this is the end of a dispensation.
Yes, sir.
This is the end of the church ages. This is the end of a lot of things.
Right.
This is the end of the blood covenant. This covenant is changing now. And now it is a spirit covenant. And now it's the true token. And so the token now is the literal life of Jesus Christ in the believer.
Amen.
So there's a big change that's taking place.
Right.
Notice, this cannot happen till the Lamb takes the book. And when he takes the book, this mighty angel's coming.
Right.
Huh? See, it's not revealed. This book is not revealed until the church ages and the denominational ages has run out. And there's time no more. See? See it? It's only revealed after the church ages and the denominational ages has run out. That's the reason the thing's in such a scruple tonight. There's another quote goes right with this, and I can't think of it right now. But he was talking about the ages and... I think he was relating it to dispensation, saying that, he did. He was talking about the church ages and the Gentile dispensation being the same thing. Is that right? Am I getting it right? Yes. That the church ages and the Gentile dispensation is the same thing. And so now you put that with this, and what does that do? This ending of the church ages is the ending of the Gentile dispensation. So if we have any spiritual understanding at all, that's going to make it a little bit easier now to be able to say that redemption's over. Because now it's actually finishing a dispensation. And the gospel now, which he's already told us, is going back to Israel.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Right.
Let's read it one more time before we move on here. So this book's not revealed until the church ages and denominational ages has run out and there's time no more. See it? It's only revealed after the church ages and denominational ages has run out. That's the reason the thing is in such a scruple tonight. See, they picked up a little doctrine. They run off here on one side, say, this is it. Another one picks up another doctrine, runs off to this side, says, this is it. And each one builds a denomination, see, under it. Until we got hundreds of denominations. But still in all of it, to see the confusion. The people are wondering, what is truth? That's what they're wondering. What's truth? What do I believe? If that isn't just the condition today, and it is. But there has to be something in you desiring and pulling and wanting. Because there's too many people that don't. So they're to me, they're like the prostitute and the harlot. They're not going to be disappointed because they don't have any desire. They can have all the books. I assume they do. I can't imagine any message believer not having the books. They can have all the books, every book that was ever preached, and they can have them on the wall. They can put them all over the house. But if they don't have any desire to read them and study them or to hear the voice, then what good is that?
Amen.
That's just some kind of show. That's a good one. Just a decoration. What is truth? Huh? What is truth?
Amen.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because that declaration is only going to impress the elect. Isn't it?
Right.
Nobody else is going to be impressed if they come over your house and you got message books all over the place. Huh? So there's something interesting about that, isn't it? It made me think. I feel like a hypocrite, but there was a time that I was a hypocrite. I'll just say it, get it over with. I had a little gas station one time when we first came to North Carolina up on 150, and I sold gas and changed oil and did a little bit of this and that and didn't have no money, but the people in the church, they supported me and they'd come by and buy gas and whatever. And so it was a hard life, wasn't it? yeah, it was a hard life. And there's a strain on my wife, everything. Everything was, it was just hard. Children were young. And we didn't have no money. We didn't make much money. But anyways, when I finally give up, I took all of my oil and all of my product, everything that I had, and I gathered up a little bit. How I started in business is they had like three or four. They had Roses and Sky City and all these different places. It was before Walmart came. That's way back. And they had oil on sale. You know, they put it on sale and maybe 50, 75 cent or whatever. So I'd buy whichever one was on sale. I'd buy one quart of each flavor and then I put that on the gas pumps. I only had about 5 quarts of oil. That's how I started. And 5 different kinds. And so if somebody needed an oil change, I'd have to say, you'll have to come tomorrow. And I find out what they want and I go buy the filter and go buy the oil. Because if they needed more than 2 quarts, they weren't going to get the same kind of oil. So that's how bad it was. But anyways, so when I left there, I had built up a good bit of inventory and stuff, and I had a pretty good bit, boxes and boxes. Back of my truck was full. So I went over to Hickory to the Jockey Lot. Oh, we call the jockey lot the flea market, whatever you call it. And so I started selling that stuff off the back of my truck. And I made more money in one day at the flea market than I made all week. And so as people started giving me junk, and I was taking it there and selling it. People would give me anything, I'd find it. I'd go to yard sales and buy stuff and take it there and sell it. And so we weren't getting rich, but at least we were eating. And so I started doing that full time. And I would drive up to Lexington, sleep in my truck. I'd sleep in my truck and set up there and sell. And then I'd go to South Carolina. I don't remember all the, but here was on Thursday. This was a good market here. And so I was doing that all week and just traveling around and selling junk. And so one day I got this opportunity to buy jewelry. And so I just had this piece of cloth. I just put out this big piece of cloth and just had boxes and boxes of jewelry. And so I just felt a little bit bad about it because I didn't believe in women wearing jewelry, and I was kind of against it. In those days, we were very, very strict, you know. So I actually made my wife get rid of some of her jewelry, and I wish I hadn't. But anyways, I did. And so I just made a table. I made more money off that jewelry than anything. And it was just junk, you know, it was just cheap, cheap jewelry. But so anyways, I'm selling it, you know, and I'm feeling condemned all the time. You know, this was in those days, this was, man, I don't know how long ago, 30 years ago, maybe longer. And I just kept selling it because I was making money. And then one day, a believer walked up. And I felt so condemned. I wasn't feeling so condemned when nobody else was around. This is what made me think of. When nobody else was around and I was making money, I thought, this is okay. Mm-hmm. But then a believer walks up and something wanted to hide all that jewelry. Just get it out of there. I just wanted to throw it in the garbage. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with jewelry. Okay. Don't, I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. That was when we were young Christians, we were strict. We didn't wear jewelry. There was a lot of things we didn't do. We were very strict. We thought that we wanted to do everything that we possibly could to please God. A lot of it is, you know, Brother Branham condemned it. A lot of things he condemned. I don't think he condemned, that saying that a woman couldn't wear jewelry or anything. He did very hard on earrings. He did say that a woman shouldn't do that. And those things, hair, a woman's hair, he was very strict on that, that a woman should not do that. And that's one thing I've always been is the coloring. And some of those things, there's no quote. There's no quote to say you can't color your hair, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's not. But just be natural. That's my thought. Be natural. And so, if you start getting all these different colors, it just why? And I'm just, you know, if you want to, you can just wipe out the last 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm just gonna move on. Okay? Just lay that aside. Just lay that aside. But I at that time, I felt really condemned over that, and I threw it all away. I threw it, and it didn't bother me until I was in the presence of another believer, and then I felt like such a hypocrite. And so, but anyways, let's move on. This is so much greater than those things. 57. But then he promises that when the time has finished out, there'll be the sounding of the seventh angel's voice. And then the book will be revealed, see, at that time. Now, don't say nobody, them people ain't saved back there. Now, this, doesn't this kind of just pull your mind away and say, why did he say that? Why is he referring to that? He hasn't said anything about that. And now he's saying, don't think those people weren't saved back there. And remember back there, since we're talking about this worldly stuff, Luther smoked his cigars and Luther drank his beer.
Right.
Huh? But it hadn't been revealed. See, it's not a problem till it's been revealed.
Right.
See, but the book will be revealed at that time. And now nobody say them people ain't saved back there, see? But the mysteries that they couldn't understand, how that God can be three and yet one. Now that scripture can say, see, that scripture can say, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and turn around and say, baptize in the name of Jesus, see? Oh, so many things. How can Eve eat an apple and cause the wreckage of the whole world, see? How can these things be? But those mysteries are promised to be revealed in the end time. It's little loose ends that these great warriors have come on the scene, such as Irenaeus and Martin and Polycarp, different ones, Luther, Wesley, all of these, see, and how they come and just live long enough, see, to kind of bring a light and shine it. And then, but they left many things in the darkness, see, and unfortunately, some of the things that they thought weren't totally right. And so, when the light shines, then we can fix it. When the light shines, then we can see what it was, what it is, what it's supposed to be. That's right. And you know, we're talking about light. We were talking about trials a while ago, the trials and the troubles. And you know, you take your phone, I don't have mine, but you take your phone. You ever been out in the sun and you can't see the screen?
Right.
Ever see, sometimes you get your flashlight come on and you can't tell it's on?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Right.
But you know in darkness, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You stick it in your pocket and you know it's on
because
it's dark, right?
Right?
And that's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes it takes darkness for your light to really shine.
Yes, sir.
When it's all light around you and everything's good around you and everything's smooth around you, then your light, you can't even tell hardly it's going. But just let it get dark.
Right.
Just let it get a trial. Just let it get trouble. Just let it get hard times. And then you're going to see if your light's on. And everybody else is going to see if your light is on. See, there's loose ends that left that can't be explained. See, then why? The seals hasn't been broke to thoroughly reveal what these things are. See? And so Brother Branham said, don't think they didn't have it. Don't think they weren't the children of God. They were. But they were living off of that revelation that they had in that day.
Right.
They only had a piece of it. They only had a little bit. And so that thing was, it was growing. It was growing and growing. And so when it got to that seventh age, things began to come. When it come to the opening of the seals, then now we're coming to a climax. We're coming to a completeness. We're coming to finishing the mystery. And then in the last age, all these mysteries are to be solved and handed out. And the seals are to be opened by the Lamb and revealed to the church. And then time is no more. See how wonderful. Then the book then is the book of redemption. For then it goes ahead and we bring in later how the 144,000 brought in, so forth, all that. That's Jews, see. See now, and he goes on down. And so, let's see here. I know my time is up, but let me see if I can skip some of this. There was something else. But he talks about that seal. And I'm sorry. So at 68, if you can jump down there to 68, and then he's talking about it being sealed to its destination. Then he goes to Ephesians 4:30. this, I'm going to read that. The Bible, you're putting your scripture down, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. Hold that word, redemption, until the day that the book of redemption has been revealed. The Redeemer comes to claim his possessions. Nothing can do it, see? He's the only one. He's the only one who can take the book, come and claim what was in the book. See? Now, isn't that a little bit different, the way he's saying it there? Hold that word redemption until the day that the book of redemption has been revealed. See? And the Redeemer comes to claim his possession. Nothing can do it, see? Don't grieve it. Say, do things that pleases God, for the book is sealed now, and your seal, the Holy Spirit itself, is the seal. And a seal signifies now, this is words I got from the dictionary. A seal signifies a finished work. And when the seventh seal is broken, the mystery of God that's been sealed in these mysterious seals is finished. Until the day that seal is broken, then it's revealed what's on the inside of it. And that's the reason why that the only ones that can see this opening of the seventh seal is the elect. Because those are the ones that he's revealing it to. Those are the ones that the Holy Spirit is in, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and he's opening it up for them to see it and nobody else. It's totally hidden from the world. It's totally hidden from everyone else except to that elect bride. All right, I want to read one more place, and I'm going to give up. This is in the third seal. This is way down. Paragraph 39 in the third seal. You'll have to jump a little ways there. And John said, everybody in heaven, everything beneath the earth, everything heard him praising God about it. John must have found his name on there, you know. And then he said, he is worthy to take the book of redemption. Now, it doesn't belong back to the judge anymore. It belongs to the Redeemer. And he's done the work of redemption. And now he's going to show the church what he done. Then he just takes, but the book is closed. No one noted at all. They note it was a book of redemption on there, but it's to be revealed in the last days according to Revelation 10. And the seventh angel is going to be given the message of that, because it said that in the time of the sounding of the seventh church age, the seventh angel, when he sounds, see, all the mysteries of God should be finished up by his sounding. Then, after it's revealed, the angel come down from heaven, which was Christ. Now remember, this angel is on the earth, the messenger. Down comes Christ. You see him in the 10th chapter of Revelations. And he puts one foot on the land and the other on the sea, rainbow over his head, eyes like feet like fire, so forth, raises up his hand, swears by him that lives forever and ever on the throne, that time shall be no more. And when he takes this oath, seven thunders utter their voices, see, which when John was taken up, was supposed to write what he saw. And he started to write down, and he said, he heard a voice from heaven said, don't write it, see, don't write that. Said, seal it up. See? Seal it up. Don't say it. See? It's to be revealed, but it's not even written in the Word. And then when he began to open the seals, we find out they were all puzzling when he opened the first seal, what he was going to say, doing these different things. But now's the time. Now is the time when he's promised that it's all going to be opened. When these seals open, that mighty angel comes down. And he speaks those seven thunder mysteries. That's the promise. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Word of God said. That's what the prophet vindicated. And that's what's been manifested in this day that we have. Amen. We thank God for that. Really, I'd like to sing a song, if you can do that for us. Do you love him?
Amen.
Let us stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise be to his name.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
Don't cut out anything.
That's right.
Don't cut out anything. He said, if you believe God was speaking to you this morning, don't cut out anything. Thank God I'm free.
I think it's not. There's a road to look at that. You know, the prophet is saying here that it's all in the book. It's all in the book. And then he says it's not even written there. You know, it looks like a contradiction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's there's much to look at that, brother. It's just not cheap like that. Maybe you're thinking that you're preaching to the young people, but you're preaching to us. I mean, it's good. Yeah. There are a lot of things to look at there.
Amen.
That's right.
And the Bible says that the book was written within and then outside the book. That's quite a contradiction also, you know, all these brought together, and there are great things here, there are a lot of things to look at, and brother Don knows how to bring it. I don't know how to read a whole book like that, and everything makes sense, and that was great, that was great. And another thing that I really love is people have weaknesses, and what we did in those days, sometimes it feels like maybe we're going too far on one direction or too far in one side. Like saying that people cannot wear things like that, people cannot do whatever they did with their hairs. But what I love about that is maybe we were extreme, no problem about that, and I'm sorry about that. But at the same time, God judges you with whatever ritual you have. What do you have at that time? That's what we had that time. Mm-hmm. I like that idea that when Don found out that this is not right, now he would not throw it out of them away now, but he threw that away. God rewards that. Do you understand what I mean? You found out that this is money, this is sacrifice, this is money, but the little liberation I have for now is this is wrong and I'm doing wrong. Whether now you see it's not wrong or not, God rewards that. God rewards that sacrifice. You did it for him. That's a literal liberation. God will respect the literal liberation. God will not demand from you what you don't know, although he requires you to hunger for that and go and find out. God wants you that. But the literal he has given you, what are you doing with it? What are you doing? Are you living it? Are you living what little you have? The little liberation? I don't have much. I don't know much. But what about the little you have? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the little things about God that you know? Are you so careless? I can do that. You don't care whether you are hurting him, whether you are making him happy or not making. I don't care whether he's going to be happy with me or he's not going to be happy. I'm going to do it anyhow. That kind of an attitude towards God, God don't like it. God, I'd like you to have whatever he's given you. Try your best. Are you happy that he's pleased with you? Are you happy that he's happy with you? Are you happy? That's the thing that we need to be careful about. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Because you never, Lord God, at any one time gathered us together, called us to this table in vain. There's always something that you have on the table, Father, to feed us. And you're so great, Lord, Father, that every time you have something that you put in our hearts. That's why you say it, Father, that you continue revealing yourself throughout eternity. We cannot finish you. You're so great, Lord, and we are thankful to be part of that, Lord. Thank you for everything. Be with the people now. Bless those who are not able to come and maybe they're listening in, Lord. Let the blessings of God pour upon each soul. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen.